Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. We are doing tonight that which we have done for 6 years, bringing you another live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you live for our third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast, AM 1380 WLRM radio. It is Saturday night, July 3rd. Tomorrow is Independence Day. I don't know if it's racist or not to celebrate American Independence Day. It probably is, but we're going to do it anyway. And we're going to do it here on AM 1380 and the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. Catch us online, the live internet simulcast and broadcast archives of each show, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And while you're at our official website, www.thepoliticalcesspool.org, don't forget that for today and tomorrow only, we are offering you a special Independence Day incentive. If you buy my new book, Racism Schmacism, we will throw in a free collectible, limited edition, Political Cesspool bumper sticker as our gift to you in celebration of the 4th of July, free of charge. But you got to buy the book before the end of tomorrow night. So go do it right now at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Joining me this third and final hour, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Eddie, we have, we hope, a pretty big hour lined up for the audience. It's been a big show so far with Keith Alexander, Winston Smith co-hosting with me for the first and second hour, respectively. Our guest that last hour was my good friend Jimmy X, host of Radio X, and he, of course, syndicates the Political Cesspool on his radio station in Buffalo, New York. Eddie, tell the audience what we have on deck this hour.
Well, I'll tell you what, James, I would like the audience to know just how hard we work to get top guests on. I have, God willing, and if he's not in a shootout on the Mexican border right now fighting the druggies down there, we have a sheriff. He's real well known. His name is Paul Babeau. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It's B-A-B-E-U. He is the high sheriff in Pinal County, Arizona. And, folks, I tell you what, this man, he's doing it up close and personal, as the infantry used to say in Vietnam. I mean, the guy's going tooth to tooth, claw to claw, with with the armed Mexican drug lords coming over into our country. Like I said, James, I'm not talking about, 2, 3, 5 miles on the, from the border. I'm talking about 80 and 100 miles from the Mexican border. These people are coming up in our country and just throwing it in our face. I mean, and just daring us to do our best, because they know. They know that the good men like Sheriff Babeau, and I'm going to tell you the truth, yeah, but I don't think I would have the guts to do what he's doing, because he knows he's not backed up by the federal government. We've talked about this before on this program. Our federal government is, I can't think of a more worthless, more corrupt government that hates, they actually absolutely hate white Christian America. They hate our Constitution. That's why they want, our country to go over to a third or even a fourth world type, governmental system. But I want this man. It took me about 2.5 to 3 weeks to get the sheriff lined up, because he's really busy. And I'm just hoping and praying he comes on tonight. I want him to tell. I can tell pretty much a lot of the story, but I want the people to hear this from the horse's mouth. And I want people to know, we just don't call up and get these people to come on in a minute or two or a day or two. I mean, it takes weeks to get those folks lined up to come on the program sometimes. But I just wonder if Sean's got the good sheriff on the line yet, and we can check with him, see if he's on, because I desperately want the people deserve to know, James, what's going on in this country, because our media just squashes out the real tough facts. It's 10 times worse than we know what's going on. If the sheriff doesn't come on, I'll tell you about it, but I hope he's on now.
No, we don't have him yet, Pappy. You are the kiss of death.
I tell you, because you know what? Let me tell you this now. If you want to know the truth, I'm not that surprised, because his right-hand man, Tim Gaffney, He was he's injured at the line of duty, just like you know, an infantry soldier. And just like, you know, Jack McLam, Tim Gaffney's, you know, he's really well acquainted with Officer Jack McLam. I think our audience may remember us having him on a few times. He was injured also in the line of duty in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, Phoenix is a rough town. They were just absolutely overwhelmed with the Mexican drug lords down there. And but anyway, Tim Gaffney told me the sheriff is never late. He's always dependable. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, and I'm serious, this is no joking matter, he could be in a drug battle, in a gun battle right now, because it's going on every day down there. Just in case, I hate to give out too many details, but before the sheriff comes on, you know, because I know if there's no big emergency, I know he'll be coming on. I have faith in the man. You know, we made the arrangements. We touched base Thursday and solidified our appointment, and I have high hopes. But I hate to spoil the surprise. You know, it's like, James, it's like going to a movie. You know, and you're wanting to tell, you're talking to somebody who hadn't been to the movie yet, and you hate to give out too many details, but we'll give the good sheriff, I guess for this end of the first segment, if he doesn't show up, I guess the show's going to have to go on, James.
The show must go on, as they say in this business, and I'll tell you what, Eddie's not kidding. This guy, I mean, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, down there in Arizona, gets all of the credit, as and deservingly so. I mean, he's not just the darling of the America First, Secure the Border crowd. I mean, this is a guy who has fought tooth and nail with the federal government, illegal alien thugs, and everyone in between to protect the American citizens and put them first. But this gentleman that Eddie has been in contact with this week is right there with the very famous Joe Arpaio in terms of what he's done to help secure our borders. And we hope that he is not in any sort of trouble tonight that's keeping him from calling in. But if we don't hear from him, as Eddie said, by the end of this next segment, we're going to just lay out what's going on down there. Eddie has been doing due diligence this week, doing a lot of research. It's been a couple of weeks since Eddie's joined us on the program in his capacity as co-host, and he has done a lot of research. This has been his project, in fact, as a member of the staff here of the Political Cesspool Radio program, to research the story and bring all of his findings to the table tonight, and he's going to do just that no matter what when the next segment continues. But first, I got
to
ask, and
you were damn
just
right.
In case.
No, and to mention, not to cut you off, James, but to mention Sheriff Joe Arpaio, all you know, give him all accolades. He deserves them. The difference between the sheriff we've got coming on tonight and Sheriff Joe is Sheriff Joe has just not even probably 1% of the resources of Sheriff. Sheriff Paul doesn't have a fraction of the resources. Sheriff Joe, the last I heard, has 3,000, deputized, kind of like volunteer deputies that ride the shotgun with him. They have armored vehicles. Sheriff Paul is having to police this county. He said that his right-hand man told me that his county is larger than the entire state of Massachusetts, and they've just about lost control of a large part of that county. So this fellow here, Sheriff Paul, you know, we have a lot of unsung heroes. This may be kind of off the subject a little bit, but, you know, every time I go to places like Shiloh National Military Park, you know, we hear, rightfully so, we hear about my heroes like, you know, General Robert E. Lee. I mean, my God, what a man. If there ever was, you know, a giant man among men, especially Christian men, I mean, who can compare to General Lee? And, you know, in our own General Nathan Bedford Forrest. But many times, people, when I go up to places like Shiloh and other military parks, even when I'm not there, I think about all the countless buck privates that died barefooted in the snow. And, you know, getting by on just eating raw beans and, you know, not even able to cook the beans, can't even make a stew out of them, one lousy stinking blanket sleeping out in 15, 20-degree weather, marching till your feet bleed. See, we don't hear about those folks. I wish we heard more about those, James. Like I said, we hear about the General Robert E. Lee, General Nathan Bedford Forrest, the Stonewall Jacksons, who are all our heroes of the cesspool. I mean, what better heroes could you have than them? But no, we don't hear about the Sergeant Joe Blows and the Private Joe Johnsons. You know, we don't hear enough about them, and I wish we did. But I'm not saying the sheriff Paul is low on the totem pole. I'm just saying he doesn't have nearly the resources and the money that some of the other larger sheriffs do. Well, no, and he, not only that, he's fighting the damn federal government, man. I mean, he's doing what he's sworn to do. You know, damn the torpedoes. He's trying to protect his people, what's left of them, in Pinal County.
Well,
and with
Eddie,
that, I'll shut up because I'm going to just run you over, James.
No. I would never let that happen. But no, you speak with passion, and you bring a certain element to this program that none of the other hosts do. We got to take a break, though. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. In case I forget to mention it later in the broadcast, and I certainly want to be sure to get this in, but as you know, sometimes on this show, once we get going, we just can't stop, and we run out of time from time to time. I want to, from the bottom of my heart, wish each and every one of you out there, the entire listening audience of the Political Cesspool, a very safe, relaxed, and enjoyable Independence Day tomorrow. Go back and read a little American history that hasn't been corrupted by propaganda, and learn what those men were fighting for and why. And enjoy that time with your family. Enjoy the day off of work, and shoot a few fireworks, and think of your friends here in Memphis. We are certainly thankful for you on this 4th of July, 2010. And Eddie, I'm sure you echo that sentiment, as does Keith Alexander, Bill Rowland, Winston Smith, the rest of the staff and crew here of the Political Cesspool.
Hey, I couldn't echo that more, James. And, you know, and I say this, you know, in all earnestness, our country really is in more danger now than at any time, I would say, since the First War of Independence. Now, of course, you know, the Second War of Independence, we lost that, and, as the 1898 Supreme Court justice said, I think his name was Samuel Chase, he said that states' rights died at Appomattox. You know, that's a Supreme Court quote, you know, Supreme Court justice.
Well, there's just no doubt about that. But it's sad, you know, and it's certainly gotten
very sad.
Only progressively worse since then. Heck, I mean, you know, things were good during Reconstruction compared to what we've got to deal with now. And that's saying a lot, because Reconstruction, the horrors of Reconstruction, are something that no one will truly, I think, understand, at least if they leave it to the powers that be to give them their daily bread. But that's neither here nor there. We want to wish everyone a happy 4th of July tomorrow and an enjoyable one. So,
you know,
Eddie,
in our show tonight really ties in with that, James, so that at least our third hour. You know, the war that we have going on our southern borders, All that is planned. Before I go into what's going on down there, I'll just say none of this is happening by accident. We talked about this on the show before. I know Brother Keith has it, for sure. But the destruction of our national sovereignty coming through, you know, the destruction of our southern border, is not happening by accident. It's been planned. I mean, our government knows what's going on down there, and they want it to go down. They want it to happen. That's why we have all of our troops, you know, the vast bulk of the United States Army and Marine Corps, they're off, God only knows, they're every country in the world, you know, guarding the poppy fields in Afghanistan, you know, napalming and killing men, women, suckling babes in Iraq, and they, my God, they call that, you know, America, they wrap up murder, they take murder and rape. And, you know, burning lives and bulldozing people's houses down. And they wrap that in the American flag. And they expect us
well,
to swallow
Eddie,
that, James?
Let me say this. Eddie, let me say this since you're on this. And, of course, we support the American military 100% here. We just don't support the way that they have been used by a corrupt and subverted government from time to time, particularly now more than in the past. But this all started, and you tied this in earlier in referencing the Second War for Independence. This, the seeds for this sort of treachery were started during Lincoln's war against the South.
It sure was.
With Sherman and the way that he would burn down man, woman, and child.
Yes, sir. He didn't care if they were, you know what, if they were 6 days old, sucking for my mama, too bad, so sad. And James, you know, I'll throw this in, and I'm going to try not to get too far afetched from the topic. But as you know, you gave me a book today, a couple of weeks ago, and one of the best I've ever read. It's about Hans Schmidt and SS Panzer Grenadier.
And I'll tell you this. I want to say this also, Ed, because we want to have time to work this in. I think Mr. Schmidt just passed away recently. But if you haven't read that book, and Eddie, we really don't have time to get into it right now. We will prepare perhaps a better segment for it next week.
Well, I just want to mention something. He referenced to say he knew more about American history than most the average kid at high school today. See, James, it's funny, you might not know it, but he mentioned the very generals you talked about, and he talked about the how cruel the Northern soldiers were in the Second War of Independence here in the United States, and he traced that beginning, just like you did, what a coincidence, to the way that the prisoners of war were treated at the end of the Second World War in 1945. And millions, I'm talking about millions of soldiers who had given themselves up, and civilians, women and children were starved to death. They were put in the open with no shelter, even no food, no water. They had to eat grass and dandelions, and they did it on purpose. This so-called wonderful, hero we have by the name of, Eisenhower. Eisenhower was a mass murderer, man. He hated the Germans. He really did. But don't go too far down that pig trail. This is the only fault I have with the current military. And as you know, James, I'm a veteran. I have two honorable discharges. But the first of all, though, I was drafted. I have a little bone to pick with the people that joined the military right now. This may be us killing a sacred cow, but see, they joined. They had a choice. They didn't have to go in. And I cannot completely excuse their ignorance for knowing what's going on over there in these foreign countries. I mean, they're participating in killing innocent people. I just cannot condone that. That's open murder. But that being said, I'll get off of that topic. But right now, those troops need to be down on our southern border.
Now that's the truth.
I'm going to get into what the sheriff had called in. Here's what's going on down there. In this one county alone, in Pinal County, the Border Patrol told the sheriff's department down there that they estimate, the conservative estimate, there's about 2,600 invaders a month. It's in the year 2,600 a month coming into Pinal County, Arizona alone. That's just one county, folks. It's so bad. Listen, this is what the government's doing. The government, the federal government, and all their wisdom, and they're so anxious to help. We can spend trillions of years of making sure that the world is safe for Israel, but we can't spend 50 cents down there protecting our own people on the southern border. Putting up signs, James, 180 and 100 miles from the Mexican border, the federal government has the audacity to go down there, and they're putting up, erecting signs for citizens, Americans, not to go past this point because it's dangerous. We can't protect you from the stinking drug lords and the Mexican army. It's coming across. The damn Mexican army is coming across in Humvees with 30 and 50 caliber machine guns, outnumbering and outgunning the sheriffs and the sheriff's deputies down there in Arizona. And our stinking federal government will not lift a finger to protect our own border, but yet we got them scattered all over from here to hell to hooray in Pakistan and Afghanistan and Korea and Germany and Japan. I mean, you can't name all the nations that they're down there. Okay, and they had to shut the Buenos Aires National Forest down. Citizens can't even go in there. It's also a wildlife management area. It has pristine mule deer hunting, desert bighorn. People can't even go in there. Citizens can't enjoy their own national forest, James, because the damn druggies have got strongholds.
Right, well, and it's not just that. As you know, portions, and I know you'll get into this, and the sheriff had intended to get into this too. We don't know exactly what's detained him. Hopefully nothing serious. But, you know, portions of our own sovereign soil and American counties has been, for all intents and purposes, relinquished back to Mexico. And this is something that's going on Obama's watch. And I know this is something that you spoke with the sheriff about. What has Obama done to aid and assist this particular sheriff and his mission to protect the citizens of this country, our country, against the onslaught and all the detrimental effects that stem from illegal immigration?
We'll get into that. I have a full bore load of information to address that question.
Hold on, Eddie. We got to take that break. We'll be right back.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we're winding up the home stretch here of the broadcast of the political cesspool for Saturday evening, July 3rd. Eddie, as we have been talking about back and forth here, this third hour has had the opportunity to interview a particularly fiery sheriff down there on the American border with Mexico over the course of the past week. Eddie had quite a few conversations with this sheriff and learned quite a bit from him. It had been our intention to have him on the program this evening, but moving on in stride. Eddie, what were some of the more interesting things that the sheriff had to share with you? And I know before that last break, we were you had mentioned that he had been seeking help from the government to aid him in his battle to protect America and our sovereignty. And what has been the result of that?
The result of that, let me give you just a quick aside. I'm to back up, but before people start calling me a treasonous anti-American soldier pig, I would refer you people to General Smedley Butler's book, War is a Racket. General Smedley Butler was the highest decorated Marine in the history of the Marine Corps. He's the only soldier, period, airman, sailor, Army, National Guard, that I'm aware of that has ever awarded the Medal of Honor, not once but twice. And he said that for years, James, he was a mercenary. He was a thug that fought for the international bankers of Wall Street. And if you don't believe me, if you want, go ahead and attack me, because I don't care. As long as I know I'm right, I do not care.
You really want to talk about that tonight, don't you, Ed?
Yeah,
do we want to save immigration for next week?
He wrote the book. You get it? Don't take my word for it. Go ahead and call me a traitorous pig liar. Get General Smedley Butler's book, War is a Racket. You can, if you're too lazy and cheap to buy it, or too lazy and cheap to buy it, you can get it online even. You know, it's not that long, and even a moron like myself can understand it. But now, getting back to the question you asked me, James, here's what the good illegal alien President Barry Satoro, a.k.a. Obama, told the people of Arizona. He said that he wants it to get worse. And I refer you to the June 21st of this year, last month, 21st of June, meeting between Arizona Senator John Kyle. He's a Republican. He had a closed-door private meeting in with Obama. And Obama told him that he was not going to lift a finger to stop that violence. He knew about it, and he wanted it to get worse, and here's why.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he told him. That's according to John. And folks, who are you going to believe, an illegal alien in here, or are you going to believe a United States citizen, Senator John Kyle? I'm going with John Kyle. He said that the reason he's going to let it get worse, and he's not going to lift a finger, he said he wants it to get bad enough down there where the Congress will roll over and agree to sign off to this massive immigration reform. And, you know, James, I'm kind of dumb, so I'll let you, I'm going to throw this by you and see if you think maybe I might have just accidentally got the right answer. Here's why I think what he calls, you know, what Obama would define massive immigration reform thusly, where we could just completely do away with the United States as we know it, completely do away with our Constitution, you know, eliminate our boundaries, our natural boundaries we've had for years, and have everybody one and the same. You know, just like old Bill Clinton said, he's not a citizen of America, of the United States. He's a citizen of the world. Well, you know, that's what he wants to do. And he told him that he's not going to do anything. That's why he said he wants to get worse. And he's not. And you know what? If the Congress is stupid enough to go along and vote for that, and they pass that bill, does he think he's going to come in and do something then to stop the violence on the border? Hell no. And I'll tell you why there. And you can correct me, James, because I know I'm dumb now. But the reason he wants it to get even worse, and the reason he won't come in and protect the border after the Congress and the senators, if they jump on board and pass the massive immigration overhaul, is because he wants it, the people that control Obama, you know, he's just their little punk, puppet. The guys, the puppet masters pulling the strings, they want it to get so bad that people cry for help from the government. You know, to give them relief. You know, we've talked about this probably on the, I think me and Keith have talked about it. I'm sure you have too. You know, you have, this Hegelian dialectic. And they call it, you know, you have a thesis, an antithesis, and a synthesis. And all that means in this common old Southern porch talk is that the government or the powers that be or anybody, you could do it, I could do it. What you do is you go and you create a problem. If you want to affect change, you create a problem. And then when the things get really bad, you hope the people will cry out for relief, and then the powers that be will step in and say, well, we can solve your problem. All you got to do is give us more money, more power, make us your masters. Well, they'll say, okay, we do it. Okay, well, synthesis, what comes out of that thing is the solution is the it's what the powers to be want. In this case here with the border getting worse and with our whole country getting worse where it's going to get almost unbearable to live, they want to merge us into this North American Union, James, that we've talked about on this program many times before. And then after we get the North American Union in, they might even skip that now. Things are picking up so fast. They might even merge us into a whole world government. As a matter of fact, just recently at one of the G8 meetings, one of the fellows, I can't remember which one it was, one of the world bankers, but he said that we need, and this is all tied together, folks, believe it or not. He said that he really thinks that we need a new world constitution for the financial community. So y'all figure that out. I'm too dumb to know what that means. Y'all can figure that out for yourself, but it seems to be like that they want to do away with all our peon rights that we have. And we have the nerve to think that we're citizens and we have rights and, you know, that we were created by God like everybody else. They want a constitution just the bankers. That is. That's what that's for. But so James, getting back to the Mexican border, or, you know, 80 to 100 miles from the Mexican border, some of the things they've had happen down there, I know the sheriff, they've had sheriffs wounded in drug shootouts. Just in this one county alone, last month, they had 64 high-speed chases after they had stopped these illegal aliens. You know, they don't have, not only do they not have a driver's license, they don't even have any insurance. They run stop signs, red lights in town, and they shoot back at the deputies. It's a very dangerous job. James, I don't know how in the world they keep deputies on this job down there. There's been border patrols, people that are killed, FBI agents have been killed. I don't know how many cops. Ranchers, listen, they burned out ranchers. They attacked residents down there. What's going on down there? See, this whole thing going on that I'm describing that Obama's allowing to happen in the Southwest is called, the Mexicans call it Reconquista. What Reconquista means is, they say, and then by the way, this Reconquista plan was put out mainly by La Raza. La Raza is the bigger of the three. They have La Raza, Mecha, and LULAC, which are Mexican organizations. By the way, folks, I'm sure everybody out there knows that La Raza means the race. It's everything for the race, nothing for people not in the race.
It's okay, race, and it's okay it, that they be that way because they are non-white. But if we spoke in that manner, we would be quite evil.
Oh, you know what, James, I'm glad you mentioned that. It, just about any of these rallies, and Jack McLamb's talked about this. He's been to some of the rallies out there in California and Arizona and Texas where they have these big La Raza rallies. They say that they're going to kill us. They're going to, us being, you know, the Anglo-Saxon Germanic white people that settled this country, they're going to kill us. They're going to run us out of the country. And there's one thing they're truth that they told the truth about. They said that they're outbreeding us. You know, you see how huge these these mestizo families are, you know, they start having babies as soon as they're able when they come into puberty, and they happen until they just can't. I know a fellow who's, I don't claim him for a relative anymore, but he got stuck with one illegal alien woman about 20 years older than himself, the idiot. And she had kids, you know, about as old as him when he married her. And he got rid of her after she threatened to kill him and took him for everything he had, and he's got him another one. So, you know.
Well, that's repeating this cycle. Eddie, we have about a minute left, but getting back to what you were saying, yeah, at their rallies, they're anti-American, anti-white rallies. And that is, you know, this is taking place. Now, if that's not insurrection, if that's not a call for violence against Americans and the overthrow of the American government and American states on American soil, if that isn't treason, if that isn't subversion, I don't know what is. And that takes place on sovereign American soil, and it's perfectly okay. You would never hear about it if it weren't for shows like ours and venues like this. It never hair-lips the national press. They know about it. They just don't report about it. But by God, if the Council of Conservative Citizens meets, you know.
There's cops everywhere.
Sure.
And there's, you know, they have informers. But you're right, James, and if these, you know, the people that I know of, like McLam and some other people I know, you know, kind of in the undercover organizations, they say that during all this violent speech...
Eddie, hold it right there, buddy. Got to take a break. Okay, I hear our music. We'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life. If I didn't tell her, I didn't.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
In a roundabout way, Eddie and I have been talking about some of the problems that are plaguing America with regard to the illegal alien invasion, problems taking place on our border. I've got a small one here. It's sort of trivial compared to the all-out overthrow of the American Republic that is being planned, certainly in Mexico and even on American soil. This story, though, comes to us from Houston. A Hispanic woman there has been selling, she's a DMV clerk, and she's been selling driver's licenses to illegal aliens because, of course, as President Bush told us, you know, family values don't stop at the Rio Grande. So we've got to welcome the sort of illegal behavior when it, of course, is perpetrated by people who aren't of the founding stock of this nation. But the story reads, a Houston woman who works for the Texas Department of Public Safety used her ready access to state driver's licenses for cash, authorities said. Gracie Gutierrez remained in custody after she was charged on Tuesday with bribery. It says, though, at the bottom that, of course, the politically correct Texas Department of Public Safety said that we expect our employees, Eddie, to resist attempts to cash in on their position and report those who are breaking the law, selling driver's licenses to illegal aliens for cash, in this instance, to their supervisors. You know, good luck with that. They're hiring Mexicans. They're hiring Mexicans in a department that handles official documents that illegal Mexicans are desperate to get a hold of. And they think that's a real good idea. Because if there's one thing that Mexicans are known for, Eddie, it's that they hate corruption, right?
Oh, they certainly do. Matter of fact, there's a term for that. I wish I could remember it. There's a term that the Mexicans have for it, but I'll just break it down. What it means that in Mexico, you don't get nothing done unless you grease somebody's palms. You have to pay for everything you get down there, like these drivers, you know, like these driver stickers or things like that, driver's license, whatever, anything you need from the government. You've got to pay some other bureaucrat, and no matter how small he is, to get anything done. It's just piddle. And that's what's coming to the country. It's coming here now. You're absolutely
right.
Well,
the corruption,
no doubt about it. And I'm not surprised at all. And I'm sure it goes on right here in this city here because you know, not only do we have a, you know, a large black population, we're getting more and more Hispanics in here every day. We're getting a Mexican gang problem in here too now. Matter of fact, the gangs, they're telling me, are in about 34 states that they're having problems with the Mexican and Latin American drug gangs now.
Well, Eddie, the thing is, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. I've said that on CNN. I've said that on this program countless times. And as you continue to inundate your country with the dregs of society, you are going to become a third world nation. The corruption that stems from Mexico is going to manifest itself here in every way, shape, and form that it can, because we're trading down. I'm an American. I don't want to trade down. And selling driver's licenses to other illegal aliens in and of itself is very serious, but it pales in comparison to the drug running, murder, so on and so forth, that is very prevalent on that border that the sheriff that you've been talking to this week has been fighting so hard to secure, but certainly he's fighting not only the illegal aliens, but our own government in his attempts to do so.
Well, you know, you're right, James. And, you know, in talking down there with his right-hand man, the retired the cop, he can't ride motorcycles anymore because he had his last wreck, you know, and the doctors told him, you know, this is no more, no way, Jose. So he, you know, the sheriff's department had to, they've got him on a desk job now. But he said that they've just about lost control. They pretty much scratched off a large part. I think he said about a half of that county. You know, they just can't control it. They don't have enough resources, and they can't do it. And I was asking him about, I wanted to get more into, you know, the legalizing, like one of my favorite projects through Dr. Edwin Vera is the militia. And he, you know, they've had some militia people down there. And I was unable to get heavily into this topic, but I wanted to ask him, would he be willing, since they're desperately short on help, would they, I would suggest to them, in fact, I'm going to try to get in touch with them again, you know, but I'm not going to count them on coming on the radio, though. I'm snaked it was that little boy. But anyway, we're getting along just fine without him. I wish we'd had him on for our listeners, though. You know, I'd rather hear from him than me. But I wanted to, you know, suggest that they start a little training program and train deputies. It wouldn't take really that long to make sure they can, you know, handle firearms safely, teach them the legalities of, you know, getting into shootouts because, you know, an illegal alien with, you know, 500 pounds of top quality heroin or cocaine can come across the border. And, you know, if he gets caught, they'll put him in the hospital and take him back across the border. But God forbid if a deputy or a border patrolman shoots one, you better have your every I dotted and your T's crossed, buddy, because you'll be in prison.
Well, you American soldiers can't even engage enemy in combat now. You know, if you abstain from doing that, you get the Yellow Heart Award from Obama. So if you can't even shoot people in combat, how can you be expected to secure our borders?
Well, you know what's actually going on. This sounds like a fairy tale. In places down there, and I was telling James about this on one of the breaks. They have in certain counties down there, and I've heard this on reliable sources too. It's getting so bad that a deputy, maybe two deputies, will, because, you know, we're talking about the Wild West down there. It's not like Memphis where we have a million people in the metro area. They probably have in the counties they are. They probably, you know, have a couple of thousand people at most in their huge counties. But they'll pull over these suspicious vans, and they find out, yeah, they are carrying drugs, and they're carrying. You know, the illegal aliens, they're bringing them up here to dump them off because these so-called coyotes, and I know everybody knows what I'm talking about the coyotes. They run these illegal aliens up here to use them in the labor force, and they also use these mules. They call them mules. They backpack the drugs into these innocent illegal aliens, if you want to call them innocent. They use them to pack, like pack animals, to carry these drugs across the border in packs and things. And the sheriff's deputy was telling me that they found this hundreds and hundreds of packs that they've been discarded once they get them to the vans and they can load the drugs, I guess, in better, you know, pack, better containers, but they throw their packs aside. But when the deputies pull them over sometimes on the highway, well, some of the people that have been pulled over, you'll see them when the cops are coming. They'll be on the walkie-talkie, and just out of nowhere, Humvees mounted with 30 caliber and 50 caliber machine guns come out. They'll have the deputies not only outnumbered man for man, but they have them outgunned. I mean, by God, a full automatic, you know, twin 30s and a 50, you know, the 50 caliber shoot, you know, one end from front end to the back out of with an armor piercing round through a patrol car. And they tell them flat out, they'll give us our dope back, give us our illegal aliens back, or we're going to kill you. And I've heard in some isolated areas they've actually surrounded sheriff stations, sheriff's offices, drugs that the sheriffs will confiscate. Mexicans will come up there and surround them and say, give us our drugs back or we're going to kill you. I mean, and that's happening on American soil. That should just infuriate everybody. And you know, James, that's all part of this reconquista for the Mexicans. But I'm wondering how long the powers that be were going to let these Mexicans get low, get by with this. I just wonder if they're going to let them. Their intentions is to let them wipe us out a lot, and then they'll wipe them out with nukes and stuff. But you know, and the reason I'm getting to this, some of the evidence I've got for this. Is I was going back and re-researching some of Gary Webb. You may not remember Gary Webb, maybe a little before your time. Gary Webb was a reporter. He was a world-famous reporter with the San Jose Mercury newspaper. It was a small newspaper. He was a pioneer back in the 90s. He talked about this, what we're talking about tonight. He started the first, I guess to my knowledge, I believe it was the very first Internet news service where people could access his website, and he kept a running day-to-day kind of like online articles with news articles from what he had found out about the CIA. The name of this online newspaper, whatever you call it, was called The Dark Alliance. And he had found out through this extensive research that the CIA was behind a lot of this stuff that we've been talking about tonight, the running the drugs into this country, running illegal aliens to use them for pretty much slave labor up here. But mainly the CIA was concerned with the drugs. You know, they were doing that during the Vietnam War. They would put these drugs in the dead GIs coming back from Vietnam. They would put the drugs in their caskets. I mean, it sounds like a damn fairy tale, but it happens, man.
Now, Eddie, you're going to have to tell us the rest of that one. Next time, because we're flat out of time this time.
Maybe next. Is it gone already?
It's gone. An hour in the cesspool's like a minute in your typical day-to-day life. We got to track down this sheriff. And we got to go for now, everybody. We love you. God bless you. Have a great 4th of July. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.